Well, this morning, in case you tuned in a little bit after we got started, we have not only records, but we have biographical material, questions, and we have the man himself, Louis Armstrong, who is sitting in on the Marathon program, one of radio's longest programs dedicated to a single artist, to his work, to his music. And this morning we're talking to Louis Armstrong of New Orleans, who is here in New York and has been since he opened at the Roxy on the 19th. As you know, that was an opening that was attended by many of the greats in music. We had a party over there the Thursday prior to the opening, and Louis is just having a natural ball, as he usually does no matter where he goes. Any place that Louis walks into, it immediately becomes a party. Louis, how you like the Roxy over there?
Oh, very much. You know, that's my old stomping grounds, you know. I was over there with Bill Robinson one time.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bill Robinson and Delta Rhythm Boys and those sisters, the Peter sisters.
Uh-huh.
We had a big show over there.
How long ago was that, Louis?
Well, when I had the big band.
They had a big band?
Yeah.
Well, that must be about...
And then I went back with All Stars. I've been there two, three times.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Of course, you haven't been there in the last...
quite a while.
Well, has it been 8 years?
Just about.
Sure, because I've been here 8 years, and I would have been there if you'd been there.
Probably we just come out when you...
That's right. I came here in 1950, so it's about seven, 8 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's our spot.
Listen, Louis, I know that you've done this a million times, and I've apologized for it before, but really, I like to hear it from you. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about your early beginning in New Orleans. I'd like you to just sketch out.
I thought my early life, I enjoyed it very much, because I was around people, I mean, they didn't ever tell me nothing wrong. I mean, they all have a good time, but they never failed to, like old Sister Jones would get sick, you know, Miss Mariah would come over across the street with that Letterman and rub her right back on her feet or something like that, you know, and the things like that. I enjoyed my younger days.
Louis, do you remember the earliest recollection that you have of getting involved with music, the first time that you knew that music had a definite message for you? Can you remember that?
Well, I remember it was early back when we used to sing in the quartets, you know, that was our hustle, you know. We used to go two by two singing, and somebody called us,
mm-hmm.
and we'd sing and pass the hats, you know.
Yeah.
1950, and kid full in $1.50 a night, he's really making some money.
$1.50, and you had it made,
man. I could feed Mary, Mama Lucy, and myself.
Everybody got
and
it.
And have a little change to boot, you know.
Now, what about that first job you had with the cornet? I mean, that...
Well, that was in the honky-tonk. The first job. It was one of them old beat-up ones that Henry Matranga went and got out of the pawn shop.
Yeah.
And the cornet man didn't show up, you know, in those days. Got a lot of wake up and can't get up.
Yeah.
So they say, go get that little old boy down there to blow, you know.
And get the cornet. Yeah. You used to hang around.
Well, I just come out the orphanage and I was taking music there. You know, we had a little brass band there.
Yes.
And we used to play on Sundays for the boys, the Marston Church, you know, play the Saints.
Did any of those other boys from the orphanage continue their musical career that you know
well,
of?
Well, for a long time, quite a few of them did, and then finally they dropped out into some other field, mm-hmm. real estate, some kind of business.
Yeah. That Waves home that you were at, the orphanage there,
yeah.
is that still in operation in New Orleans?
Yeah, but the city took it over. I think it's something about the municipal home for boys now, and they had everything modern now, you know?
Yes,
Showers and...
When was the last time you were down there in New Orleans, Louis?
When I was... let me see. In 49, I was the King of the Zulus.
Yep, I remember during the Mardi Gras.
And I think about 2 years later, we went down again. See, when the axe hit,
yeah.
those combinations... You know, with the white boys and the colored boys, I mean...
They had to separate.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had to nix it out after
yeah.
all. We have two white boys in our band.
Yes.
So if New Orleans don't lie, it all goes my hometown. It used to be going there to place. I mean...
Yeah.
Because we play together everywhere else.
Yeah.
Memphis used to be one of the hardest towns of all of them.
Yeah.
And they don't think nothing about it now.
Memphis is all right now for playing
Memphis
with a mixed band.
Memphis is great, man.
Uh-huh.
But here comes New Orleans. I'm surprised, so...
Yeah.
We just have to put it down until somebody sees it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you walk around New Orleans?
You tell me the man that put the restrictions don't even know nothing about music.
Yeah.
One of them senator boys there.
Yeah, well, that's too bad, Louis. That's too bad.
It'll stop, man. It'll be public demand to stop that.
Yeah.
I don't see it coming.
Oh.
It did it with Benny Goodman and Lionel Hampton and Teddy Wilson in Texas. I mean, Benny was kind of afraid to pull him out, you know. He was going to keep him in the dressing room. The people almost tore up the place.
Yeah. Well, of course, there's no comparison.
Well, the fans alone will stop it. I mean, it was all over the world.
Yeah.
For that music.
That's right.
That's right.
People want to hear that sound.
That's right.
Louis, let's take part two now and swing into the second part of Louis and the Angels, a very wonderful new album that Louis has just cut.
Right.